Today on Straight Talk Africa, soldiers and police fired live rounds at opposition protesters in the Zimbabwean capital Harare Wednesday as the nation awaits for the results of a general election, the first in 38 years without former President Robert Mugabe on the ballot. At least two people were shot. It came after main opposition leader Nelson Chamisa from the MDC Alliance accused the ruling ZANU-PF party of plans to rig the elections, an accusation the ruling party sharply rejects. We'll discuss the latest development in Zimbabwe after the elections as parties await the outcome of the highly anticipated presidential vote. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters in Washington. I'm Peter Clotty. Shaka Sali is on assignment.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick, and I'll be your social media reporter.
Today we are discussing the latest political development in Zimbabwe and awaiting the final presidential election results.
And coming up later, our audience has, of course, weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and on Twitter. We'll reveal some of them ahead here on Straight Talk Africa.
Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa is calling for calm on the streets of Harare Wednesday after chaos erupted when the main opposition leader Nelson Chamisa accused the ruling party of trying to rig the country's election. The turmoil played out while most people in Zimbabwe are unemployed, stranded with little or no money to feed their families. VOA's Pauline Diho reports from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
Timothy Ngolobe is a university graduate and unemployed. He makes a living hawking on the streets.
The country situation is just bad, man. Because now you go to the bank, any bank, cabs, Standard Chartered, whatever, you don't find cash, you know. But if you go outside the bank, just on the door, you find the cash.
Like many of his generation, he hopes that the cash crisis will be one of the first things tackled by whoever forms the next government.
This is a bank and the ATMs are dry. You can't get any cash out of those ATMs. So what people have done is to resort to selling money on the streets.
Let me see how easy it is to exchange money on the road.
I thought you said you were going to give me 65.
There is a conspiracy between the banks who have the cash and the vendors who sell it through unofficial channels. Cash transactions have significantly gone up because of long lines of people waiting to withdraw money from their banks. Richard Varensa says that it's tough feeding his family and wants a better Zimbabwe after the elections.
We have got a serious crisis in Zimbabwe. We are sleeping in queues, there's no cash. Some are being given 50 bonds or 100 bonds. So it's very rare, it's very tough for me to survive with the families.
Zimbabwe, in effect, has more than three parallel currencies: the rare US dollar, bond notes, and electronic transfers. Francis Machibe, another Harare resident, says higher interest rates are eating into people's savings, especially for small transactions. And sometimes the locals pay over 45% interest rates per transaction.
If you have got the money in your bank, you can transfer to your EcoCash. Then the EcoCash guys there can charge you at 35% to 45%.
But for vendors, they argue that EcoCash is the reason why many Zimbabweans can still pay their bills and buy groceries. While mobile money transfers have been a success in many African countries, Zimbabwe was forced to adapt to EcoCash due to severe shortage of hard currency and banks running out of cash. For Tinishana Toko, a vendor who lives in one of the high-density suburbs of Harare, the situation could not be dire.
At least if we could have cash, hard cash of our hard currency here, which will be accessible to all vendors, who will be ordering our stuff at low cost, then selling them cheaply and selling in volumes. But now we are facing a lot of challenges in selling our wares. Hence, we are forced to buy cash for survival only, not for business.
Financial analysts say for Zimbabwe to fix this currency crisis, the authorities would need to restore confidence in the country's financial system. As supporters for the MDC Alliance, the main opposition party, and ruling party head to the ballot, the question is whether the voters will hold the incumbent president responsible for the ongoing cash crisis or give him the benefit of the doubt. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, downtown Harare.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Today we are joined in the studio by Jennifer Cook, Director, Institute of African Studies, George Washington University, Elliott School of International Affairs, Dan Moyo, the Movement for Democratic Change USA Chairman, Washington, D.C., and Praxedes Jeremiah, Senior Editor, VOA Zimbabwe Service, Franguni, the Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front or ZANU-PF party representative, was invited but could not appear due to a scheduling conflict. Ms. Cook, Mr. Moyo, and Praxedes, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Now, let me come to you, Praxedes. You've been following events, you've been reporting on it for the last few weeks. Zimbabwe has been the news in Africa. What is the latest development? Because it appears that the capital, Harare, seemed to be like a war zone. What is happening?
Yes, Peter, Harare is on fire, I would say, because the skirmishes that started off with just a demonstration of insatisfaction of the coming out of the results of these elections that was done on Monday. The results started trickling in yesterday. And what frustrated most people is the fact that the results are coming from Gutu, so far away from Harare. Those are the first batch of the results that came in. What about Harare itself? And they started trickling in until today. We're still getting results from the parliamentary results, as well as the council results. So people got so frustrated that why are you not announcing faster, at a faster rate? And at the same time, they really want to know the results of the presidential elections, because that's the most important thing
for them. But yes. Wouldn't they give the Electoral Commission enough time to cross-check, to ensure that all their I's are dotted, their T's crossed, so there wouldn't be any significant dispute that could plunge the country into chaos?
Yes, they're supposed to do that. And a lot of people are saying, we understand it, that. But 2 days? And you cannot collect results from Harare itself, where there is all these electronic gadgets that you can use to aid you to get the results, and yet get from the remote areas first. That's questionable. So a lot of people were frustrated. That's why they went into the streets, I'm supposing.
Well, ladies first, so I'm coming to you, Jennifer. What is your overall impression of what is happening in Zimbabwe at the moment? Because initially, international poll observers said that it has been smooth and peaceful. All of a sudden, this is happening?
Well, they've said a couple of things. The day itself may have been smooth and peaceful with voting, but I think there were a lot of concerns in the lead up to the process in terms of the voter roll and the transparency, the independence of the Electoral Commission, for example. Now, no one of those things might be enough to make it not a credible election, but those undermined the perception of integrity of the process. Then when you come to the vote count, and this happens not just in Zimbabwe, it happens everywhere, that when the delay between the votes coming in and the announcement being made is prolonged, tensions grow, rumors flow. You may have gotten results from one area of the country first, and then everybody thinks, okay, we're winning, and this happened, that MDC perhaps thought, well, we've got the edge here, and then the rural votes came in, and it was more balanced. Now, I don't know what the final tally is, but the longer that process goes on,
particularly in an atmosphere that is already kind of infused with tension and distrust, I think that's when people begin to say, well, what is happening behind closed doors? And you have to remember that in the past, when there have been really protracted delay between the vote and the announcement, very bad things happened in Zimbabwe. And you had a lot of shenanigans happening in 2008, for example, where it was fairly clear that the MDC had the edge, and then there was a whole lot of intimidation and manipulation, and come out the other side, and they went to a runoff. So I think this is a very dangerous moment. The pressures on the Electoral Commission to announce quickly, to get over some of these tensions is intense, but they also want to get it right. There's tension from people in the street, there's tension from electoral monitors and so forth. We don't know, though, why it is taking so long. That's a reason I think that there needs to be a whole lot more communication coming from the government about what is exactly happening. You know, you have three critical phases to an election. You have the integrity of the process, you have transparency of the process so that people can see that, and then the credibility of the process. And those are all linked, but you need communication of what is happening to people at large to ensure that this process is transparent and credible and has integrity.
Neno, let me come to you. Since supporters of the main opposition, your party, MDC, have been accused of clashing with police and being rude and being just belligerent, not allowing the Electoral Commission to come up systematically with the results, and they seem to be impatient. What's going on?
Well, first and foremost, I must say that we condemn the violence that's taking place in Zimbabwe, and that our people should restrain themselves, but they should not take away their right to demonstrate. That is a constitutional right that they have. They have a right to be on the streets. The government has no right at all to use live ammunition on defenseless people. And Mnangagwa as the commander-in-chief and Chiwenga as the defense minister should come out right and condemn that and stop the soldiers from brutalizing the people. These people are unarmed, we understand. They might have picked up rocks and started throwing stones at them, but there is no need for the loss of life for someone that they could have contained this using the riot police without necessarily killing the people. But in order to understand what is happening in Zimbabwe, you just have to look at the past elections. They have been rigged in the past, and a lot of international observers, even other international other companies, have countries have come out and agreed that the elections were not free and fair. We have requested for reforms for many years so that we can have credible elections that would not be disputed. But up to now, ZANU-PF, which has been in government for the past 38 years, first under the dictatorship of Robert Mugabe, which I must say was a violent dictatorship right from the beginning in 1980 with the massacres in Matabeleland where over 20,000 people lost their lives. Mnangagwa, who is now the current self-imposed president after the coup in November, was part and parcel of, has been part and parcel of the system from the onset. You must understand that Mnangagwa's legitimacy is at question even today as to how he became the president, because he came in through a coup. And so with everything that has been happening, everything has been tipping to a boiling point. And I think right now our people feel that if this election is stolen the same as the past elections have been stolen, then there is no hope for them. You saw on your introductory video the desperation that now has engulfed the country. The people have been suffering for too long, and when you push somebody against the wall so much that there is no other way for them to go, things like this are bound to happen. People are going to take the law into their own hands because they no longer have trust in the system. They no longer have trust that the election results that are going to be announced will be accurate. In 2008, it took the ZEC, the ZEC, over a month to announce the results. And already, like Jennifer said here, it was known that Morgan Tsvangirai had won those elections. But when the results came, they denied him the presidency. And again, the last comment I'd like to make is that same as in 2008, this year they were allowed to post the results mm-hmm. of the elections outside the polling stations and for anyone to take a picture of those results. So pretty much anyone with a decent laptop already knows what the results are and who has won. And so for the government, which is supposed to be more sophisticated than the citizens, to fail to produce a result timelessly when it is obvious, then that alone smells of shenanigans. The transparency is no longer there, and the people are concerned that once again their vote is going to be stolen.
Hold your thought. We'll come back to that. Before pausing for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Zim Election and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
It's been very nice to see women participating and young people taking up the mantle to participate, to lead. We had a huge number of young people that put their names forward as candidates for a lot of posts. Whether they will win or not is another issue, but that's one of the things that I actually believe will lead Zimbabwe to success. The fact that young people are beginning to get engaged in issues of politics, economics, etc.
I think right now what Zimbabwe needs as a country is capacity building. You see, we have so many youths who have so much potential in their various areas of calling, but what has been lacking has been the potential for them to showcase their talent, especially to the outside world. So right now I think Zimbabwe has gotten to a point where people no longer necessarily rely on whoever is governing the country, but they actually rely on what they have within themselves.
Look at Zimbabwe, we have the fifth largest lithium deposit in the world. When you look at gold production per kilometer, we are in the top five. But people are afraid because of what has happened in the past. So I believe that the future of Zimbabwe lies on us making economic policies that will assure the rest of the world that it's safe to come to Zimbabwe.
Regardless of who wins, the task for them is to concentrate on rebuilding the institutions, creating stronger regulations, increasing service delivery. And I think the most important thing is cultivating a culture of constitutionalism. We have a new constitution, well, a relatively new constitution, but we don't use it. So there's a difference between having a constitution that is present and actually using it. And if we don't develop a culture of constitutionalism, we will complain about the same problems over and over again, as if we don't have the laws to ensure that people are protected.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the latest development in Zimbabwe. It appears that the streets of Harare, looks more like a war zone than a country that just voted to select its leaders. But Jennifer, let me come to you. What are your thoughts on what we heard, right now?
I mean, that they said it much better than I. I mean, the thing is that Zimbabwe has such a huge opportunity at this moment. I mean, for everything that Zimbabwe has gone through for decades, there is such a high level of education and professional competence. It's not gone through a war. I mean, the city may look like a war zone, but, there are still infrastructures that work. Hugely talented professional cadre and a hugely talented diaspora. And if the new government, whoever it may be, gets the policies right, gets a hold of the fiscal and macroeconomic crisis and kind of can pull back investment, there is nothing that Zimbabwe can't do. I mean, I truly believe that the country has phenomenal possibility. And so to hear young people like that talking about, look, this is, it's ours now to move forward. Now they may, Mugabe may be gone. The new government may not be entirely a different government in some ways, but I think they are looking for something very different. And I think that is what's going to change Zimbabwe going forward, the expectation that young people have from their government. I don't think people will give the new government, whether it's Mnangagwa or Nelson Chamisa, a break like they did, like many people did to Mugabe. Well, let's be deferential, he's a liberation here. Now they're expecting service delivery, as she said, infrastructure, investment, somebody to get on top of the fiscal situation. Although I don't think just the economic policy will be enough, people like that also want to have a voice in who leads them and who makes those decisions. And so, this is a real crisis point for Zimbabwe, but it's also possibly, the start of something much bigger and much, much better going forward. And it's kind of those voices, I think, that will, one hopes carry the day.
Baxidis, let me come to you. Zimbabweans, I heard, were anticipating that this election would help improve their lives. Are their expectations so relevant today?
It's so heartbreaking and it's so sad that what they were hoping for is not what they are getting now. And they can see the signs and symptoms that it's not going to be okay. Because to the run-up to the elections, it was quiet, although there were some isolated incidences of violence, but there wasn't much violence compared to 2008, compared to other elections. So now come after the elections, especially some of those supporters of parties that are not the two main parties are really so sad. And their hearts are breaking. I was speaking to some of them, especially in the diaspora. Their hearts are breaking because they were looking forward to a peaceful elections. The results are delivered. Whoever concedes defeat or wins, they congratulate each other, just like what happens here in America, for instance. So before the results were even announced, another party has decided to demonstrate. Not that we support the violence that has erupted. We believe that the army has used a heavy hand on these demonstrators. It's their right, we agree. But couldn't they have waited until the presidential results were announced, then they can demonstrate.
Mm-hmm. Deno, let me come to you, because I've heard critics of Nelson Chamisa saying that he is to blame for this current situation because he kept on saying that he has won the presidential vote and his followers are believing that. And so they got a little bit antsy when the results were not coming in, and that is why they decided to go in the streets and demonstrate, clashing with the police.
Well, the truth is that every presidential candidate goes in expecting to win. And even here in the U.S., when they are talking, they talk of when I become the next president, this is what I'm going to do. He had expectations of winning. Even the other 22 who lost, if you had asked them before these results came out, they would have also told you that they had won. So that's natural. I mean, we can't blame him for that. What is wrong is that inciting the people to go out to the streets and commit violence. He hasn't done that himself, but there is suspicion that some higher members in the party might have, in the press statements they gave, they might have incited the followers to take to the streets. Again, I'm saying that is the people's right to demonstrate for whatever reason. They can demonstrate that they hate this guy on that day. It's allowed. What is wrong is for the army to use violence. But now, going back to the clip you just played, what I'm seeing is Zimbabweans who have come to the understanding that for the country to be a failed state is really not their fault as citizens. They have done everything, gone to school, educated themselves, tried everything possible to live a normal, decent life, and that the hindrance is coming from the government. And therefore, they feel now that they do not have any other choice. If they don't take action now,
but there will be a continuation. They've waited for so long under President Robert Mugabe. There are a few days. August 4th is the deadline as stipulated in the Constitution, electoral laws of Zimbabwe. So why not wait?
Well,
what is the rush?
Well, the rush is already the parliamentary results have been announced, and so far those results show that ZANU-PF has won by 145 seats. Out of the 210. And so what that means is that they already have a majority in parliament. And usually the parliamentary results indicate what the presidential result is going to be. So it's clear to them that once again ZANU-PF is coming back to power. And they just don't understand why and how. With everything that ZANU-PF has done to them, they don't understand how anyone in their right mind would have voted for ZANU-PF.
So they would rather resort to violence, which elicited reaction, although unjustified, as some many Zimbabweans say, to go in the street, throw stones, hurt people, and then you have this high-handedness by the security agencies. I mean, who is to blame here?
Like I said, we condemn violence in any form or shape, but the people have a right to demonstrate. We have seen sometimes in Africa, we saw this happen in Tunisia, we saw it happen in Libya, we saw it happen in Egypt, where just sitting back and expecting normalcy to take over just doesn't work. The people have to stand up for what they believe in. They have to stand up for their rights. They can still do that without being violent.
Yeah, there are peaceful demonstrations. Before we go to the break, Jennifer, let me come to you. For the first time, European Union and U.S. Poll observers were allowed to go to Zimbabwe to monitor the elections. Others thought that could have pressured the Electoral Commission to get it act right. Are you of the assessment that it could have helped, to smoothen the process? Because as it stands now, the Electoral Commission is a little wavering.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand the limits of an international observation mission. I mean, they can help lend credibility to a credible process. They can point out places that they see. They cannot kind of stamp the good stamp of housekeeping approval on, and they might encourage some officials to abide more by the rules. But in some ways, they're kind of a confidence-building measure that can point out errors, but can, gives greater credibility and lets officials know that the eyes of the world too are watching here. Just on that last point, though, it is true. People, these are the opposition parties in Zimbabwe have had their backs up against the wall. They have been peaceful, remarkably peaceful, compared to many of their neighbors in the face of real brutality, real election rigging for many, many decades now. 2008, the opposition was battered. Morgan Tsvangirai battered. The analogy is, you know, you burn down the house once, next time you just have to walk by and shake the box of matches, and people know what you mean, that the house is going to burn. So people are realizing that, and this is a very, it's a bad precedent, but it's true. The only way to get attention in some of these issues, in some of these instances, is taking to the streets, because the international community is not going to pay attention if everybody's sitting back at home and waiting for the Electoral Commission to make the results. That's why, even when it's peaceful, the international community, the African Union, need to be out there saying this was not a credible process or what have you. Because the great fear, as you pointed out, is that if they just stay home and wait for the results become a fait accompli, and then whatever rigging gets pushed under the rug and you kind of go on with life as usual. So, you know, I abhor violence of any kind, but I certainly can empathize with people who want to make sure that they're out there keeping the pressure on the international community, the Electoral Commission, and the government, to let them know that people are watching this.
Thank you. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. Stay with us.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa Live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Fitzpatrick. Hello, Heidi.
Hello there, Peter. We've, of course, received great social media feedback this week. We're talking about Zimbabwe, where the two main contenders, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, a longtime Mugabe ally, and the charismatic preacher Nelson Chamisa, are awaiting the results of the hotly contested race. And this leads us to our question of the week, in which we asked, which candidate do you feel is most qualified to lead Zimbabwe forward, and why? Let's start here with a tweet from Samuel Hindo from Uganda, who tweets, Chamisa is a young man who has risen through the ranks. The African dream lies in empowering young, responsible men in a civil Africa. We have another tweet from Amani Kachele from Tanzania, who writes, I am for Nelson Chamisa because the so-called African revolutionary parties are nothing but old dogs that cannot be taught new tricks. They entirely rely on illiterate voters and theft to remain in power. Now to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Vincent Atuma, who writes, they all have the potential to deliver as long as they are qualified to contest. Ultimately, it rests with the electorate to decide at the polls. With the right team, a leader can succeed. Governance is a collective activity. Let's go here to a comment from Facebook fan Rodney J. Najak, who writes, Dr. Nkosazana Moyo is the best candidate. Zimbabwe needs someone who understands economics and business. Part of the reason Zimbabwe is in this mess is because people don't understand finance and accept a debt on bad terms. Our last Facebook comment comes from Godstein Mgwadi Chinma from, and he writes, Nelson Chamisa has something to offer as a preacher, at least, to end starvation and to liberate this country. A reminder for you, of course, that we appreciate all of your audience feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords on your screen here, Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. You can also join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV2 Africa. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page that is on our website. And you can watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Let's take a look now at what is ahead for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, Jean-Pierre Bemba, the former Democratic Republic of Congo vice president, is planning to run for president in elections set for December. Bemba was recently released by the ICC after his war crimes conviction was overturned on appeal. Opposition and civil society groups are concerned that President Joseph Kabila will attempt to seek re-election in violation of the Constitution. Politics in the DRC on the next Straight Talk Africa. And that is it for today's social media segment. Peter, I hope this has given you and your guests a lot of social media comments to discuss. I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Let me come to you, Praxedes. What are your thoughts about some of these comments that Heidi just gave us?
Of course, a lot of people are supporting Chamisa on the social media. But does it turn out to be voters? Because even to the run-up to the election day, there was a lot of support on the social media. But those social media people are not the people that are going to vote. They didn't register. So even those people that were comprising of the large crowd at rallies to the run-up to the elections, they might not have been registered voters too. So that's one thing that we must understand. But anyway, from all over the social media and from even inside Zimbabwe, there's a lot of support for Chamisa. Mm-hmm. But as it turns out, we don't know whether the elections were rigged or people were really voting for Mnangagwa or ZANU-PF.
Do you know, somebody told me if you would focus on all social media platforms, Nelson Chamisa will be the president of Zimbabwe today. Tomorrow or today. Yeah. What say you?
Well, yeah, he has been successful in getting large crowds at his rallies. But like Placida says, yeah, the question is, can those translate into votes? There's a tendency in Zimbabwe, because there are no jobs, and sometimes at these rallies, they get T-shirts, caps, and food, that people just attend these rallies. But the emphasis should be on voter education, getting people out to register to vote. Again, the problem with Zimbabwe, because of the past, there's that skepticism also. There's voter apathy about whether the elections are going to bring real results, the will of the people. Elections have been rigged, it's a fact. So young people, most of them nowadays, they don't care much about elections because they think that they're not going to bring the desired result. So there's a lot of work to be done to encourage people to go out and express themselves democratically. But the government has a role to play too, to be fair. Constitutionalism is very important, building independent institutions. Right now, ZEC's credibility is in question. From the onset, ZEC has not carried itself as an independent body. They have shown signs of being puppets, being manipulated by the system, by ZANU-PF. And the government, to a point where people now do not trust what's coming out of ZEC. They don't believe the results that ZEC announced. And again, I think, like I said, we need to go back and tally the votes based on the results that were posted outside polling stations, get the facts right, and then announce the correct results and then move forward.
Mm. Jennifer, before you come in, okay, go ahead.
Before we can go to Jennifer, mm-hmm. I was just to the run-up to the elections, and even a few months back, when we were reporting these stories, ZEC actually said 60% of those people that are on the voter registration are the youth. Mm-hmm. So I would have expected the youth to vote for Chamisa, but unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah,
but 60% of the voters' roll comprises of the youth.
Mm.
We agree on that, Moyo.
Yeah, those are the statistics. Those are the statistics that are out there, but the results are speaking differently.
Okay.
And also, you must understand that what they're telling us is that the larger populations are in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the results that are coming from the rural areas are the ones that are so inflated in favor of ZANU-PF.
But don't they have their own monitors in place in order to ensure that there is no what they call election engineering in those parts? Because those areas have historically been strongholds of ZANU-PF. So if you think those areas are being massaged, figures are being massaged from there, why don't you protect those weak points so you have a strong showing in the urban areas?
Well understood, and I think MDC did have a lot of polling agents this time around. We are still waiting to hear from the polling agents what actually transpired when those votes were being tallied, because there's been rumors out there that people were being forced to sign the V11 form,
mm-hmm.
With results that were bogus. So until we get to those people and they're willing to talk, if they are willing to talk, but if you're being threatened with a gun in your head, they might not be willing to talk. But there are instances like that. So I think the observers need to investigate this and get to the bottom of it, and before they rubber stamp these elections as being free and fair.
All right, Jennifer, before you add your assessment to that, do you think the happenings now will taint the credibility of the outcome of particularly the presidential election because of how things have turned out so far?
What's happening in the streets of Harare today? Probably not. I think, like Den just said, you have to look at the overall picture. That, you know, A, the run-up and the voter rolls, and how much you think that, and the lack of transparency around the voter rolls, the lack of independence of the ZEC, how many instances and how widespread of, say, people being forced to sign, or trucks, you know, driving off with ballot boxes, or overvoting, so you got more votes in a ballot box than people that were registered at that polling station.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are little anecdotes, and they're going to be those in almost every election that I've ever observed in, but you have to look at the totality and how much, you know, how widespread and systemic were those kinds of errors to make the judgment. Today I think it's much more about the credibility and the public perceptions. I mean, the integrity of the elections, we just can't make a judgment on that. But should this violence spiral worse and worse, it just makes a very bad start, whatever the ultimate outcome was, because it starts a new government out on a feeling of bad blood, of suppression, of overhanded violence, which is something that I think many Zimbabweans thought we've kind of left that behind us. So I think it's really too early to judge, and not to mention the post-election appeals that may go forward. How are the electoral tribunals, and how are some of these things adjudicated, the complaints adjudicated? So to judge the process, you can't look at election day. You have to look at from way back, from the registration all the way to the end of the tabulations and any appeals that are made. You know, I do think in 2008, posting results outside the polling station, people took their snap and sent it in, and so MDC had a good idea. This year, some things that I've been hearing are those have gotten ripped down, or they were never posted, for example, or people have gone back and put different ones up. And so whether ZEC publishes results down to the polling station level, where any individual who is at a polling station can check. I mean, that's, to me, is very important to the credibility to the ordinary guy who voted, to say, hey, I can look up, and yeah, my polling station reflects what's in the national result.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a ways to go here. But to start it off with blood in the streets is, unfortunately, a bad signal. It's not it doesn't mean it's the end of the road, it's not rectifiable, this may all come out well, but I imagine that the hackles of the opposition are up right now, trust is down, and that's, I think, not what really anyone wanted to see from this election, which many hoped would be kind of a new start.
Mm-hmm. Praxidis, before the elections, the chairperson of the Electoral Commission told VOA in an interview that they continue to engage with all political parties in order to address their concerns ahead of the election. Were those statements correct? And were the concerns of these political parties, particularly the MDC, resolved before the election?
No, they were not resolved. ZEC really tried to engage all stakeholders, including the political parties, as well as the civic organizations, but they didn't measure up. Until 2 days before elections, MDC was still saying we might not get into the elections because our concerns haven't been met. And there are so many things that need to be addressed before we go into elections. But when they saw that the elections day was drawing near, they had no choice but to go into the elections and say, we are going into this election reluctantly, but they were not met, of course. But it did really try because ZEC started off with another lady chairperson who resigned in between.
Or forced out.
Or forced out or resigned. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, but still ZEC went into these elections not very credible and not with very clean hands.
Mm. Jennifer, let me come to you. In one of your write-ups before the election, you expressed some skepticism about the transition phase, that you are not sure if Emmerson Mnangagwa, the president, would supervise a free, fair, and credible process in this transition phase. Where do you stand now?
I still have that skepticism. I'm not sure that I still think we need to watch and see. The electoral process is one thing. I also think I'm skeptical about issues of transparency, should he become the new president, of going forward on transparency, on accountability for errors done, for changing a culture of corruption, for security forces reforms. I mean, all of those things will have to happen to kind of signal a real turnaround within Zimbabwe. Is it just old wine in new bottles, or new wine in old bottles? I don't know what the saying is. That the system is very much the same as it was, but just with a new player that is not Robert Mugabe in the seat. And so, the elections are a first test of that. Is this something different, or is this more of the same? You know, right now, I think the jury is out. It's not looking great. But, you know, we'll see how this plays out. But then there's a whole lot of subsequent tests that are going to happen in terms of transparency, in terms of media freedom, security sector reform, end of corruption, accountability for past sins and violence. All of those issues are going to confront whoever the new government is. Mm. So, you know, before I think we believe this is really a new day in Zimbabwe, we're going to have to look at that whole spectrum of issues. So still skeptical. I'm not hopeless.
Okay.
Put it that way.
let me come to you. With what is happening in the street of Harare, the capital now, what are you hearing from the MDC alliance in Zimbabwe?
Well, all the leaders so far have come out and condemned the violence, which is the right thing to do. I think the government also has to come out, not just send the police spokesperson to come in and address, do a press statement. I think Mnangagwa himself, as the commander in chief, needs to come out strongly and warn his soldiers that violence against innocent citizens should be stopped, because Mnangagwa's legitimacy. He was really hoping that this election was going to legitimize him in the eyes of the world. We saw him giving in on a few things along the way to try and appease the people. But at the end of the day, I think nothing really concrete. It was mostly talk and no action. And the people could just see right through that. The people on the other end were hoping that they will overwhelm the system with their votes and that any kind of rigging that might be attempted is going to be overwhelmed by the system and a credible result is going to come out. And like we saw no violence all the way up until after the elections, and we're seeing the violence now. This violence could have happened earlier, I think, if the people had really stood up and demanded the kind of reforms they were calling for. But the people were patient, they waited, but I think this is the last straw for them. If this goes down with Mnangagwa emerging as the winner, Zimbabwe is the loser.
Jennifer, let me come to you. Some Zimbabweans that I spoke with say there's need for the international community to put pressure on the authorities in Zimbabwe to ensure that this does not degenerate into something dreadful. Where do you stand on that?
Well, yes, I would say by all means, put pressure. And this shouldn't just be the United States and the United Kingdom, for example. I mean, it's got to be South Africa. It's got to be SADC. It's got to be the African Union. Maybe the Chinese, who are big mm-hmm. partners. I mean, I think the first responsibility should fall to SADC and Southern Africa. And I think if they respond and put the pressure on for a credible transition or accountability for whatever happened during this election, it makes it much easier for the United States, the European Union, and the UK to have leverage. If the UK and the US are working kind of at cross purposes with SADC and South Africa, you know, we have not that much leverage. The US has targeted sanctions there. We have sanctions that prevent Zimbabwe from getting right with the IMF and the African Development Bank, something that Mnangagwa really, really wants. So we do have some leverage, but Mugabe lived with that for a very long time. In fact, played it pretty skillfully to make it sound like, you know, it's just imperial powers coming to keep us down. I think it's there that the African Union and Southern Africa really has to step up. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa right now in South Africa, you know, he could have a really strong voice on this. I know he's got issues of his own. So I would like to see the United States and international community use that leverage, but I would really like to see SADC, South Africa, and the African Union step up in that way as well. It's such an opportunity. And, you know, if they want to set a new standard of what the African Union and what SADC is about, this is a perfect instance.
But we've got to give it to him, Mnangagwa. He really tried. There could have been a backlash, especially when he was bombed himself. Mm-hmm. He could have reacted very violently.
During the campaign?
During the campaign. Mm-hmm. It could have escalated to something else. But you've got to give it to the guy. He really tried until this last moment. Mm. And I'm thinking he's still trying.
Well, President, it's
because he wants to sanitize himself.
Now, there are issues of during the skirmishes in the capital, journalists were being asked to or ordered to switch off their cameras and all that.
Yes.
What were you hearing? They said it's a violation of the country's constitution, which encourages freedom of expression.
Even our own Studio 7 reporter was asked that question. You should switch off. Which organization are you reporting for? So, yes, there are so many incidences of violence and incidents of human rights violations. But still, I still feel that the people should have been a bit more patient. And even on the part of the army, they should also have been more patient until 4th of August. Mm-hmm. That's all most of the people from Zimbabwe are saying, that we should have just waited until that announcement. And then if ever there's something that can erupt it can erupt after that, not before.
But I don't know, how would that help?
I understand that. No, let me come to you. So far, things appear not to be going too well. The Electoral Commission has momentarily halted announcing the outcome of some of the results. But do you anticipate peace returning so the process will move forward?
No, I do not.
Why?
Because clearly the people are not satisfied with the results that came out, and the people are going to protest those results. I think, to me, the international community should just render this election null and void, put in a transitional authority for Zimbabwe, put in an independent person to lead the country to proper elections. That's the only way there's going to be peace in Zimbabwe. At this point, there's never going to be peace in Zimbabwe.
Well, some people are saying the MDC are sour losers, and because they see that the election is going against their presidential candidate, they want to just pick up their soccer ball and go home and create confusion, plunge the country into chaos, looking for a transitional government to be part of.
All we are saying is we are not even saying that government should be MDC. We are saying that government should be an independent body. We have quite a lot of educated academics, business people, somebody that can step in who's apolitical, lead the process, a transitional process, make sure that all the grievances that we have been calling for, all the reforms that we want to see, make sure that ZEC is truly an independent body, make sure that the voter registration process is done correctly, make sure that the elections are conducted correctly and the results are announced correctly. That's the only time we're going to have a credible government in Zimbabwe. All this, ZANU-PF might force itself and suppress the people. Once again, the election is not going to be free and fair. Who in their right mind would say the election was free and fair with all that we've seen happening? We have dead bodies on the streets. How can you then say the elections were free and fair? So we're back to square zero. We're back to being looked at by the international community as being a pariah state. So how does that help Zimbabwe? How does that move us forward? If all these people are interested in seeing Zimbabwe succeed, to me, that is the best avenue right now to take, render these elections null and void, put in somebody who's apolitical, lead the process of transition, give him a year, 6 months to a year, put things in place, have a proper election. Mm.
Jennifer, you have the last word before we go. Briefly, where do we go from here?
Well, you know, first of all, the international community can't just do that, put in an interim government. You know, I think the observers need to call it as they see it, frankly and openly. I think SADC and the African Union and kind of key democratic leaders within Africa need to step up. They may be the ones that can pressure for kind of accountability and what really happened here. That's the thing. Once August 4th comes and the results are out, there's not that much recourse for people at that point. It kind of becomes a fait accompli. International community begins to lose interest a little bit. And that's the great dilemma. And that's why people are out in the streets today, whether you like it or not.
On that note, thanks to our guest, Jennifer Cook, Director, Institute of African Studies, George Washington University, Elliott School of International Affairs, and Dean Moyo, the Movement for Democratic Change USA Chairman, Washington, D.C., and Praxedes Jeremiah, Senior Editor, VOA Zimbabwe Service. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, for many of our Voice of America radio affiliates. Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batty. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. Have a great evening.